Welcome to Grace and Glory Audio, featuring Pastor P.G. Matthew. Today, Pastor Matthew preaches on the parable of the four soils, with this message entitled, The Visible Church, preached April the 26th, 2015. If you have your Bible with you, please turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 4.
Now, you ask the question, what is a visible church? A visible church is not every church that calls itself Christian church. A visible church is that church where the word of God is preached. So visible church is not a church that says it's a church, but it is a church where there is a pious and learned pastor who preach the word and nothing but the word. So in the local visible church of God, where the true gospel is preached and lived out, every member will not be a true believer. The parable of the four soils reveals this difficult truth. The first three soils represent people having no saving faith in Jesus Christ. First is the pathway Christians, or you could say highway Christians. The first soil Christians have no interest in the gospel. Therefore, they do not repent of their sins. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. They serve the devil all their lives. And the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. They hear the gospel, but they do not value it. They reject the claim of Jesus as Savior and Lord. They live to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a little time and then die to go to hell to endure the wrath of God forever and ever, like the rich man of Luke 16. These people believe true Christians live a miserable life. They have no fun, they say. These people are thoroughly deceived by the devil. The truth is, true Christians live the most happy life. So we read Psalm 1 verse 3. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Happy life. That's what I live, sir. And Psalm 16 says, in your presence there is fullness of joy, and on his right hand pleasures forevermore. Compared with the joy of the Lord, the pleasures of this world can be described as garbage, filth. True believers rejoice even in the midst of sufferings. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Life in the kingdom of God is described to us as righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So the psalmist says in Psalm 73, Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The devil, I said, comes to steal, kill, and destroy through pleasures of sin. But he deceives you, and you don't see what is going to happen to such people. Only Jesus gives us eternal life of unending joy. The second is stony Christian. It's a little topsoil, but underneath is solid rock. The second soil Christians believe and confess Christ, yet they fail to understand the gospel. They will not deny themselves and take up his cross and follow Jesus. They refuse to take the yoke of Jesus and learn from him. Learn the word of God. They want to be taken care of as we take care of infants. We diaper the infant, and the infant make a mess, and then you clean up. And there are people who like to be an infant all their life. Take care of me. They want to be taken care of. They revolt against maturity, against growing up and assume responsibility. They are allergic to sufferings and persecutions. They want to enjoy a soft life. And the parents are only happy to acknowledge pumping all kinds of money to them. They want to enjoy a soft life. They wanted Jesus to give them health and wealth and power and fame. They hate scriptures. Scriptures like the following. Romans 5, 3 and 4, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that the sufferings produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. God has a purpose for our hardships and sufferings. He ordains these things for our maturity. He doesn't want people to remain infants. 2 Corinthians 11. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Or Hebrews 11. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in desert and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. How do you like that, sir? May God help us to grow out of diaper, making a stink in the church. Or Matthew 5:11-12, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Or 2 Timothy 3. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It is guaranteed. Matthew 24:9-10. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. The faith of the second soil Christians is temporary faith. It may last at the most 1 to 3 years. Then they fall away, denying Jesus and cursing Jesus and cursing the pastor. Like the first soil, they are spiritually barren. They are unfruitful, like the fig trees with only leaves. They are useless for the cause of Christ. They take and produce nothing. The third soil Christians, or the thorny Christians, also have only temporary faith, not persevering, saving faith. Their temporary, superficial faith may last even up to 25 years. They are like the soil where thorns grow and flourish. These thorns of worldliness choke and kill the silly worldly Christians. As worldly Christians, they always worry about everything, all the time. It is because they do not trust in Jesus to help them. Jesus said the following to the true believers. Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The third soil people, they want to be like the rich man in this world and like Lazarus in heaven. They really trust only in money. And Jesus said about these people, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust and destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. They do not realize money deceives, deceitfulness of riches. Money cannot save us from eternal death. And money is uncertain, here today, gone tomorrow. Money can make people arrogant and godless. St. Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus said this, and you read recently, Luke 6, verse 20. Blessed are the poor. He didn't say poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God, which is the greatest blessing. And then he said, Luke 6:25, but woe unto you who are rich. I spoke about 1,826 billionaires worldwide in 2015. Prove it to me that one, at least one, is a Christian who loves Jesus Christ from the heart. But woe unto you who are rich. These people are seekers of pleasure. They are always desiring for other things. That is, other than Jesus, other than the gospel. They hate Jesus, they hate the gospel, but they want other things. And they have money to acquire things that give them pleasure. They desire for other things, other than what, sir? Jesus Christ, other than the gospel. They follow Jesus only to make a lot of money, to buy things which give them a lot of pleasure. So this worldliness kill them in due time, and they fall away. This is the history of every true visible church in the world. They fall away like Korah, Achan, Saul, Judas, Demas, concerning whom we are told by St. Paul, he abandoned me, having loved this present world. Desire for other things. This present world is under the control of the evil one. St. Paul says in Galatians 1, for this present evil age. All these Korah, Achan, Saul, Judas, Demas, and others, Saul and others, all these fell in love with this present evil age, which is under the control of the devil, who is the god of this age. Their life is driven by lust. So we read in 2 Peter 2, they will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. In 1 John 2, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You cannot have both and. Loving the world and loving Jesus, it will never happen. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does comes not from the Father, but from the world, from the devil. The world and its desires pass away. It's not forever. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Like Achan, they see, they lust, and they take, and they are destroyed. The first three soil people are psukikoi, not pneumatikoi. They are not born again. They are not Holy Spirit controlled. They appear genuine Christians, yet they are not, and they are in the visible church. In a little while, they shall fall away. So let me read some passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Hebrews 3:19. So we see they were not able to enter into rest because of their unbelief. Hebrews 6, it is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the world, the word of God, and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, it is impossible to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, that is eternal loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless, as in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Speaking about hell. And Hebrews 10, if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think a man deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sanctified them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit that gives grace? For we know him who said, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay." And again the Lord will judge his people. Now listen, it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. They forsake Christ to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a moment. That's the purpose, sir. Everyone who falls away is falling away to sin and to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. The good soil Christians alone persevere to the end. Remember tulip. What does tulip mean, sir? Total depravity. That's the first doctrine. You look at what the Turks did to the Armenians. 1.5 million Armenians. I was watching Russian TV. They showed all that. I couldn't watch it. How man is totally depraved to kill other human beings. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and what else? Perseverance to the end. The good soil Christians never fall away. They have a good heart, a noble heart, a new heart, given by God himself. They are born again. They exercise genuine repentance and saving faith all of life. They hear the word, treasure the word, and they produce fruit, more fruit and much fruit for God's glory and for their everlasting blessing. They are by faith vitally united to Christ. They are led by the Spirit and the Word. They are vitally connected to Christ and to His Holy Church. They don't live an independent life of floating. They seek not money and fame. They seek Christ, who is their life. They suffer for Christ, even martyrdom. They are citizens of heaven. They are even now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Their eyes are fixed on Jesus Christ, crucified and risen and reigning. To our Christ belongs all authority in heaven and on earth. This Lord is their shepherd, and they absolutely lack nothing. They persevere in faith to the very end. Matthew 10, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. Children putting to death parents. Predicted here by Jesus Christ. All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And listen to Saint Paul at the end of his life. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come now for my departure, exodus, my death. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. So friends, make your calling and election sure, as Saint Peter exhorted us, right before his death. And St. Paul also told us in 2 Corinthians 13, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith, whether you have saving faith. Test yourselves. Jesus said, many are invited, but few are chosen. Many are invited for the great feast, but few are chosen. And let me read to you from Revelation about this great feast to which the good soil people are invited. Revelation 19, beginning with verse 6. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give Him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. Small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life. There is a broad way that leads to destruction. And then we are told, few shall find the narrow gate and the narrow road that leads to eternal life. Friends, I say to you, let's test ourselves whether we have fruits. Jesus said, by their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you recognize them. Test yourself. Luke 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Test yourself. Friends, Jesus is the gate, and Jesus is the road, and Jesus is Lord. And Jesus said, only one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, and it will not be taken away from her. That is the gospel. This is eternal life, and it will not be taken away from us. In that sense, once truly saved, we are saved forever. Apply this test Jesus gave to your life, the test of obedience. Jesus tested Abraham with this test. Take your son, your only son, son whom you love, Isaac, and take him and burn him up in worship for a pleasing aroma for me. And he did. Serious test, sir. But God spared him. But he did not spare his own son. Gave him up for us all. For our salvation, sir. Test yourself. Can you say with St. Paul, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I love God, sir. I love Jesus Christ. And I know you do, because he died for you and we live for him. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He died that we may live. So, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, do it all for God's glory, who loved me and gave himself for me.